Okay, so Judaism's magic words, understanding the 13 attributes of mercy. Okay, so these are, not only is this something that's done very much over the course of Yom Kippur itself, both at Ne'ilah as well as, well, Kol Nidre, Slichos following Maariv, as well as on the night of Yom Kippur, and then of course at Ne'ilah we do the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachman many times. Rabbi Cohen, I'm sure, will tell you that we should do slichos at every Chazaret HaShas, during every tefillah, both at Shachris and Musaf, as well as Mincha as well. Yeah. What can we do?
The printers.
It's the printers' fault. I know.
The Chazanim were the printers.
Yeah.
HaShulchan says they're going to pay a price for that.
Okay. So we do say, not only the fact that we say the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachman very often over the course of the night, we also say it over the course of the Tzlichuch, but as well as tomorrow, tonight being Wednesday night, tomorrow is Thursday, the last Monday and or Thursday before Yom Kippur. And that, of course, is the, if one has a choice of which slichos to go to over the course of the 2 weeks of slichos, so that's the one to get to, because tomorrow's pizmon, tomorrow's slichos, is the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. We say it in the Ilah, so we say it already tomorrow. There are some who make tomorrow, the Chazan wears a kittel and goes to the mikvah. Like, tomorrow's kind of like a practice run for Yom Kippur itself. So discussing the idea of what these Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim are, I think is a fitting topic. I would add in another thing as well. There's two ways to go with this year. One is to kind of go through each one by one and try to figure out what the different mafarshim say with it. And the other one is to kind of talk about it. So I decided to do a little bit of a mix of both. We'll talk a little bit about them one by one, not all of them, but there's a Ramban that kind of picks and chooses which ones to talk about, and he does that for a pretty good reason. So that's the first, that's side A of the source sheet. And then side B are a couple of ramifications, some halachic issues that show up with the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, some interesting points to know and to refer to. So let us begin. So if I were to ask where the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim show up for the first time in the Torah, so I know it's on the page, but what would you answer me? What is its usage the first time? Dun, 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 dun. Yes, of course it's a trick question. When are they invoked for the first time?
Sure.
Right, so... What?
Behind the rock, or turns his face.
Right. So good. So you fell for it. Good. So they show up. They show up in Parshas Ki Tisa. Now it doesn't really. It's not really invoked by Moshe. If you look there carefully at the Pesukim, so it's over already. I mean, the Chet HaEgel happened. Moshe begs to save the life of the Bnei Yisrael. Hashem says, fine, you know, they'll be saved. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes him aside and says, by the way, if you ever had this problem in the future, let me give you a few things you might want to know. And that's where the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim show up. Right, Vayirid Hashem Banar Meisah Sevi Umosham, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, Vayivor Hashem Al Panav Vayikra. Right, Hashem passed before him and proclaimed, meaning Hashem is speaking, right? And that's what we quote when we say slichos, right? We say, Hashem is speaking. And he's giving instructions, by the way, for the future, you should know, these are the things that that we're going to do in case you ever get into trouble again.
The Rav Shir once asked us whether we know Chumash or not.
Right.
And we kept quiet, and then he asked us this particular question.
Oh, wow. All right.
Was it... The Hashem who said it, or Moshe?
So did someone fall for it?
No one answered.
No one answered.
Who would answer?
I got it. Okay.
But there's a tshuva from the Rambam. He was asked this question.
Yes, right. There is a tshuva from the Rambam that did not make the cut for tonight. I came across the tshuva from the Rambam, but you know, otherwise we would have had to make it much smaller, and you know, then the Horowitzes would have complained and. So unfortunately, the Rambam didn't make the cut. So what was the first time then that it was really invoked by Moshe, then shows up later? What is the next big sin? There were several sins in Parshas Baldos, but the next big sin that takes place is the Chet HaMeraglim. And that's the second, that's the second thing on the sheet. Right? And there, if you take a look, it says...
That's an abbreviated form.
Oh, very good. Right. So if you take a look at Pasuk Yud Zayin, I know it's not that clear. Right? V'ata yigdal na koach Adoni. May the power of God be greater, or translated here as magnified. Kasher dibart lemor, as you said, saying, meaning Moshe's turning to Hashem and saying, all right, I'm pulling it out. Here we go. Yeah, you said this is going to work. Here we go. And he says as follows, Hashem erech apayim v'rav chesed, nosi avon v'apesha, Vinake lo yinake poked avon al banim al shlishim v'al rebeim. Right, and he invokes some of them. Hashem, who is slow to anger, abundant in kindness, forgiver of iniquity and willful sin, and who cleanses, but does not cleanse completely, recalling the iniquity of a parent upon children till the third and fourth generation, and goes on and says, you better forgive us now. And Vayomra Hashem Salachti Kivarecha, right? That also is, of course, familiar from Slichos as well. That forgive now as according to your greatness and your kindness, and as you have forgiven our whole people since we left Egypt, meaning for the last year, for all the other things that we did between the time we left Egypt and now, for the last, what was it, 15 months or 16 months, right? From the Nisan before until Tisha B'Av the year later. Right, and now let's go. God, you promised. Let's take care of this now. So the Ramban there in Bamidbar says, okay, Moshe, Hashem gave you the magic words and you left out a whole bunch of them. Right? So why did you leave them out? And through learning this Ramban, so you start to see a little bit about what the Yud Gil and Midos HaRachem are all about and why Moshe left them out. So I figured that's good. I mean, that will cover several of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, and then we'll go and discuss some other things as well. So the Ramban, if you the Hebrew is on top and the English is on the bottom, right? The English is copied. There is a we even have it here. Unfortunately, not from the strong Ramban, because I don't have the strong Ramban at home. It's only a shul, so I did this while I was at home. There's the old edition, the Chevelle. So we have it on the shelf as well. The Chevelle translated Ramban. He wrote the Hebrew as well as the English. So he says, "V'hiskir b'midos erech apayim for av chesed, v'lo hiskir emes." So what's the first thing that's missing? So there's actually two first things that's missing. The first thing that's missing is the word Hashem, right? We say Hashem, Hashem, right? So hold that thought. We'll get to that a little bit later. Why is it? What, is there one? Is there two? Should there be one? Should there be two? What's going on there? We'll say that for later. But he says, "V'yiskir b'midos erech apayim v'rav chesed," right? So we do talk about abundance and kindness We do talk about the one slow to anger and abundant in kindness. V'lo hiskir emes. Right, the word MS was left out, so that's one midah. Right, God is a ches is a God shall MS. Right, and why is it not there? So he explains, keep a midas MS you chayavim, because if he would invoke the idea of truth, so then they would be chayav, they would be obligated. Truth is that raises a question. Well, wait a second, why is that one of the Yud Gil Midos HaRachamim in the first place? Right?
Because originally, the MS is steadfast, chesed, unwavering.
Right.
But you don't want to intimate or hint to MS, because here you would be invoking din.
Right. So
you avoid the use of MS.
Right, right. So in this context, it invokes din. If that's so why is MS on the list, right? If usually these are going to be invoked for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So hold that thought as well, all right? With my class, we have a parking lot, right? So two parking lot questions, right? What's the deal with the first Hashem? And second of all, why do we have MS in this? Okay.
Can I have a third question?
Yeah.
He leaves out Rachum V'chanan.
He leaves out Rachum V'chanan. So we have a few. That's there also. It's all... The Ramban covers that. Okay. Below his, that's the second paragraph. Below his, ki notzer chesed la'alafim, right? To give, he helps the thousands. So why didn't he include that? Ki lo b'schus avos nispal al Moshe achsha. Below his, ki b'tfila hazos la'avram Yitzhak ul Yaakov klal. Right, because he didn't want the thousands of generations. Right, that's what he means. He gives chesed for all the generations. So why didn't he include that? Because he didn't want to evoke the schus of Moshe. He didn't want to invoke the schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why not? So v'hatam, why didn't he want to invoke Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Right, Hashem, you promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What did he promise Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? He promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that they would have the opportunity to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban is going to say, okay, that's kind of what their sin was. Their sin was rejecting Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right? They were rejecting the gift that was going to be given to them. Ba'atam, the Ramban continues the second line. Ba'atam bavur sha'aretz nitna la'avos mehem yarshua, right? They're inheriting it from the avos. V'heim mordim ba'avosam v'lo ayucha feitzim b'matana shelahem. And they were undermining the avos. And they didn't want the gift that they were going to be, asher ha'avos ha'yubochrim b'ma'o, that the avos treasured so much. V'heyach yomar shenishbat lahem bach. So how they said, as you swore to them. What do you mean? As it says in Shmos. While the sin was the Jews saying, we're not really interested in this matana. Right? So therefore we invoke, we exclude MS, and we exclude the idea of you've promised us for all these generations, and that's not included as well. Okay. What's the next one that's not included? So vichata is not included. No, say avon vafesha v'chata'a. Right. So, what does that preserve? Say avon vafesha v'chata'a, forgiver of iniquity, willful sin and error. So, why is v'chata'a not included? So he says b'avur she'elu mazidim poshim, because chata'a is a vote when we do things by accident. Here they did it on purpose. Right. If you Baruch Hashem, I have the opportunity of teaching both versions of the Meraglim in the morning right now. So I'm learning the first parak of Devarim with the 8th graders, as we'll see tomorrow how well they learned it. And the 7th graders were learning Parsha Shlach. Right, so you see both editions give various examples of what the purposefulness of the sin was, but that's chata'a is not included because this was done b'mezid, it was done on purpose. V'lo yadati lama lo hiske rachum v'chanun. I'm not sure. This is I don't know why he didn't include rachum v'chanun. Some say that that's the most powerful word in Rashi when Rashi says I don't know why something, because that shows that he wasn't guessing on anything else, right? Rashi could have just skipped it, right? Rashi doesn't comment on every single word. He could have just skipped it. So he said, no, he was sure about everything, and this he's not sure about. So, the answer, Ramban also, I don't know why you don't rachum v'chanun. Ulai, perhaps, yada Moshe ki adin matuach aleihem v'lo yimchol yolam. Because perhaps Moshe knew that the din was going to be placed upon them, and they weren't actually ever going to get a full mechila for it. Because Moshe recognized that the chet of the Meraglim was not like a one-time deal. He realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to completely forgive us for the Meraglim for a while. So what did he request? So the one thing he requested was Erech Apayim, slow to anger, that you extend it over a while, that you don't knock us all at one time, as he says, like a bunch of sheep in the desert, and we're going to die in some plague. No, it'll be a slower thing, right? V'avur shelo bikesh ata ella arichos apayim, omer lo salachti kivarecha. And since shelo bikesh ata, he only requested arichos apayim, Amrulo salachti kidvarecha, right? The next word, Hashem says, I salachti kidvarecha. As you requested, I'm giving you forgiveness, right? This, you requested this, I will fulfill that request. And of course, that leads to the Yochanan ben Zakkai question, right? About when he requested Yavne, why didn't he request Yerushalayim? Right? Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he saw the falling of the Beis HaMikdash, so he could have made a request and he didn't request fully. And that's always a difficult thing. How much do you make a request? And the person says, tell me what you want. Now he did mention the idea of that the poked avon avos, that the parent's sin will then go on to the children and to other generations, lay more. Shim yira shelo limchos avonam, yifkod avon avos al benehem, ula erech apayim yikham. Why did he say that? If he doesn't forgive his sin, yifkod avon avos abaneim ulerach apayim yikacham. Right, so the sin will then go for the parents of the child, ulerach apayim yikacham, and it will come in a erach apayim fashion, will come in a lengthy fashion. Umizeh hayta gzeira likvor lehem bechil ledoros belayla hazeh, ki poked avonam al zaram. And for this reason, we establish crying for the generations to come on that night, ki poked avonam al zaram, because the sin is resting on the zera as well. And I didn't look into it. I'm not sure. Do we what the example of this is today? And I guess the example of this today, the Ramban is saying, is Tisha B'Av. Right, Tisha B'Av is the example that we're still carrying. We're still carrying the sin from the past. Yeah, so I spoke about that once on Shabbos.
To spread out the punishment,
right?
That it's not comes in a concentrated form,
right?
With the Doha Midbar.
Right. I think that is true. I think maybe it's the Haftorah from Kitis. I'm not sure. One of the Haftorahs quotes that pasuk that we don't pass things on from generation to generation. Len, what do you do with that? So, well, what am I thinking of? That pasuk I'm talking about is. Yes, lo yisubanu alavosa. Right, that children won't die for the parents' sin. So that's in Devarim, right? We talked about this recently. That's in someplace in Devarim. So how do you resolve that? I think I once saw this Rabbi Sachs, or Jonathan Sachs, one of his Devi Torah. I quoted this in Shul at some point. That what Moshe is talking to people and telling them, you know, your sins are going to last for a couple of generations. Then Moshe, 40 years later, tells them, no, a son's not going to die for us of his father's sin. So how do you resolve those two? So he explained that, I don't remember what his sources were, but look who his audience was. When you're talking to the sinner, right, so you tell the sinner, this isn't just going to be you, right, it's going to be for generations to come. It's going to impact you, right? We're telling the sinner, look at the impact of what you're doing. As opposed to, who is Moshe talking to in Devarim? The sinis, right? The ones who are punished for the parents. So he's telling them, you have no excuse. Right? Yes, it's true that maybe I told them that their problem is going to last for generations, but you have no excuse. You have to do what you have to do. And that's, that's always a common thing. If we blame our parents this, our parents that, and that's why this, and that's why that. So we're saying, no, you have no excuse. Right? It could be things came over to you for your parents, but you still have, that's just a challenge that you have to then overcome. Yeah.
There's a paradox. On the one hand, you can't transfer the sin of X over to Y, mm-hmm. punish him. However, we carry the burden of the sins of our forefathers.
Mm-hmm.
We always have to ask forgiveness for the sins of our ancestors.
Right.
That's a national burden.
Right. Okay.
So what you're saying is that in that case, it's we're carrying for the sins of really all time of all
of Israel,
all of Israel, rather than an individual issue with respect to something that an individual did, one particular individual did
Sorry, Cohen is saying, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't punish and that's how for X as
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on national level,
sins, right.
We carry that
that's
burden.
Different.
Because they say there's a confession of all Nachum Baba saying the book.
Right. So we do recognize that.
Yeah, I want to say something about Rav Chesed versus Rachum Chanun. Rav Chesed is a moral obligation. Chesed,
mm-hmm.
like Bris and Shavuah. Rachum Chanun is subjective. So his argument was, I want a moral obligation here on your part mm-hmm. to forgive. I don't want a subjectivity, Rachum Chanun. That's the way I would understand why I left out the Rachum Chanun.
Okay.
I'm arguing, Rav Chesed, the moral code obligates you to forgive.
Okay. So the Gemara picks up. The Gemara actually tells the story on the back of the page, or soon it will be the front of the page. Source number two. where it says Vayivor Hashem al panav vayikra, that Hashem passed in front of him saying. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the famous words, Amali mikra kasuv eif shar liyomro. If it wasn't for the fact that the Pasuk told us this, it would have been impossible for us to possibly dream up that this is the scene that took place. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself like a chazan. He's like that, like a talis. That's why by slichus we wear a talis. I carefully wear a talis. Right? Bahara lo la Moshe seder tefila, and he showed Moshe the way to daven. I mean, that would have been, well, what was so impossible about that? Maybe for another time. The whole idea of davening. It said in the name, we put a resource on to before to mechamar. They say in the name of him that he once exclaimed that if it wasn't for the fact that the Torah told us to daven, it would have been considered kfir to daven. It would have been considered heresy to daven. So what do you mean? I'm asking God for something. I mean, how could that doesn't make sense. How could I be asking God for something? Fine. So anyways, so he showed this to Moshe. So Amar lo, kol zman she Yisrael chotim, whenever the Jews sin, yasu lifanai kaseder hazev ani mocha lehem. You do this order and I'll give them mechila. Hashem, Hashem, ani hu kodem she yichateya adam, v'ani hu le'achar she yichateya adam, v'yase tshuva. And right, Hashem, Hashem, why the two Hashems? That just as I was their God before they sinned, so too I am their God after they sin and they do tshuva. El rachum v'chanun, Amar Rav Yehuda, bris kerusa l'shalosh esrei midos she'enan chozros reikam. That a bris, a covenant was made with the 13 attributes. They will not be turned away empty-handed. It says, behold, I will make this bris. Because I'm making this bris with you, that was the deal that was made. I am the same God before as I am after. And in a way, it sounds like these are then the 13 me. That seems to be what the Gemara is saying. And in fact, the Vilna Gaon writes that. The Vilna Gaon says that the first two Hashems are both introductions. They're not midos. Midos are characteristics of God. Hashem is a name of God. So the Vilna Gaon actually says that neither of those two count as the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Right? The Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim start to the next line, which actually seems to be what this Gemara is saying. However,
but the title Hashem is
Lachamim. Okay, but that's not a midah. That's a shame. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. So Tosfos there, however, comments, still dealing with these first two Hashems. So Tosfos on the side there, it's a very interesting looking Tosfos because there's something else stuck there also. The Tosfos is about two words wide. If you take a look on the page, but you don't have to worry about that here. It's nicely laid out. Shalosh esrei midos, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the shnei shemos harishonim, he shnei midos. Now Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the first two Hashems are actually two characteristics, karmin and hacha, ani Hashem kodem sheyichate l'rachim alav, v'ani merachim l'achar sheyichate im yashuv Hashem. Right, that I was Hashem before you sinned, and I had rachmanis on you, and I will have rachmanis on you after you sin, if you return to Hashem. Im Yashuv, Hashem midas rachamim hu v'lo ke'elokim, because Hashem, as Mrs. Cohen was just saying, midas rachamim hu v'lo ke'elokim, and it's not like the Elokim name shehu midas adin, because the word Elokim represents midas adin. Avon v'fesha v'chatav v'nakei he nimnim bedalid k'di'isa b'yum perek shnei yisrim. And then those four, avon, pesha, chatav, v'nakei, those are four. Those count as four. However, Tosos then continues and quotes Rabbeinu Nisim, that he says, "Ein mona sham harishon sheyesh psik ben hashemos," that we don't count the first Hashem such that there would be a distinction between the names. Mishum dahachi kamarkra, and this is how you read the pasuk: Hakadosh Baruch Hu sheshmo Hashem kara Hashem rachum v'chanun menotz. Kara Hashem Rachum Bechanun.
Vayavo Hashem Ponav. Vayikra Hashem.
Right. Right. Vayikra Hashem. Correct. Right. Oh, Rav Soloveitchik read it like that? Like Rav Nissim?
Yes, that's how he tested us.
Okay, so Rav Nissim is saying as follows, that the word Hashem, because the Rush disagrees, as we'll see shortly, that you say, Vayavor Hashem Al Ponav Vayikra Hashem. Right? The pasuk goes, Vayivor Hashem al panav vayikra, and we read it as Vayivor Hashem al panav vayikra Hashem Hashem kol rachum v'chan. Right? And we include Hashem Hashem as Yidgil midas harachmim. That's the way Rabbeinu Tam set it out. However, Rabbeinu Nissen says, no. Vayivor Hashem al panav vayikra, that Hashem passed in front of him saying, Vayikra Hashem. And Hashem announced Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanun. You see, that's the way the trap is. Vayivor Hashem al panav vayikra Hashem, Hashem, it's hard to say with the trup because they're both munachs that follow Vayikra. It's hard to say. The trup, I'm not sure, gives us much of a clue. So that's the way Rabbeinu Nissen said, and then he divides up the rest of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim accordingly so he could come out with Yud Gimel.
Nissen is saying that the first Hashem is not
is not one of the Mida, right? It's just that's the story. Vayikra Hashem, Hashem, Hashem Kavachim Lachan. Right? How do we know that there are 13? By the way, where do we see 13? Right? So the Gemara just said 13, right? So you have to somehow you have to come up with 13. It's a question of how you're going to divide it up. So the Rush starts off with Rabbeinu Nissim. He quotes Rabbeinu Nissim. He quoted Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Nissim, the Rush in source 4, and he says V'lo Nehirli Klal. He says, I don't understand that the Lamale Lamichta Vayikra Hashem, why did he have to say that? Right? Vayivor Hashem Alpanav, Vayikra Hashem. Why? We just said Vayivor Hashem Alpanav. Who do you think is talking? Right? But it's the whole thrust of the Psukim is giving instruction, Hashem giving instructions to Moshe. It's hard to say that we would have thought that it would have been anybody else but Hashem. That's the Rush's complaint against Rabbeinu Nissim.
How does the Rush hold him with respect?
So he's going to say like Rabbeinu Tam. Vayikra umalu lahaskar Hashem achari vayikra. Why do we need to say the name after vayikra? Second line. Va'od notzer chesed below la'alafim eno mida. Right, notzer chesed without alafim isn't the mida. That's the way Rabbeinu Nissim split it up, right? And shows not to get into that. That filu hara hu notzer ad rivaim v'chol amidos midos v'yasurhem. And all the midos are then count. Okay, let's skip that line. V'chein nog l'omron b'chol galus Yisrael, and that is the way everybody says it. Shachazan omer v'yavor Hashem al panav v'yikra, v'kal maschilim Hashem Hashem kal rachum v'chan. So the Rush, after learning Tosva, says this is the way we paskin, and fine. Uldivri ha'gon, and according to the Gon, according to Rav Nissim, it would have been Ha'ilul Chaz L'Mayvor Hashem Panav Vayikra Hashem Ulkal Haskel Hashem Kel Rachum. Right, so you say that everybody holds like Rabbeinu Tam, and nobody holds like Rav Nissim Gon.
Rav Nissim Gon was a camel man. Maybe they did say it.
Maybe.
The Rush
traveled quite extensively over the course of his life, so at least he saw an Ashkenaz as well as Sfard that they didn't say that. Toledo's in Ohio. Toledo's in Spain.
When he wrote this.
So the Rush, everything was written later on.
Oh, okay.
Everything was written in Spain. That was part. That's part of the thing that that article that we used once upon a time from Tashma. So he points out that all of his writings were later in Spain because that was the style, because it was much more centralized rabbinic leadership there, and people actually cared what a rabbi would actually write, as opposed to in Europe, where every rabbi had his town, and that was the way it was. Okay, so now, so that takes care of how we recite it. So just one more thing to wonder about is why we recite it. What exactly is this supposed to teach us? Or not teach us, what is it, how does this, what does it accomplish? So Rashi on those psukim, he says, "V'karasi b'shem Hashem lefanecha," that it was said in name of Hashem in front of you. Lamedcha seder b'kashas rachamim, to teach you the way to ask rachamim. Afim tichle schus avos, even if you, it sounds like you lose your schus avos.
Use it up,
right? V'chaseder zesh ataroa osi meuta v'kra yudgimel midos havi melamed es Yisrael lasos kain. The fact that here it's teaching you the yudgimel midos, so it's in order to teach the Jews to do this. The fact that you announce in front of me Rachum V'chanan Yinan Ki Rachmei Locham, you'll see that my Rachmanus is an unending Rachmanus. So is that so? Rashi mean you just say it, and that's it, right? What does How does that work? Right? You're saying that, oh, well, I say these words. I say, oh, God, don't forget, you're supposed to be merciful. Why do you don't stop picking on me? Stop punishing me. I, you know, remember, you made us a promise.
Is this the point where you initiate your whole thing of tshuva?
Right. So presumably, it is not just an idea that, oh, we say the magic words and then we move on, but it's actually supposed to lead to some amount of action.
Marisol made a distinction between Zuchus Avos and Beris Avos.
Mm-hmm.
Zuchus Avos, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam looks upon us as if he is looking upon Avon, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we have the credit cards of the patriarchs. Beris Avos is that it's a legal matter, you know, and I have to do it.
It's the deed of faith, right?
What? And that's the difference between Ava Rabba and Havas Olam. Ava Rabba is Chus Avos.
Mm-hmm.
Havas Olam is Beris Avos.
Right.
And that's the Bachlokas, whether you say Ava Rabba, Havas Olam.
Right. So I think that's in the beginning of Kol D'Ido Feik. I think that's in that first section, right? Okay. So the Gemara tells us, "My Dichsiv Acharei Hashem Elokeitam Tales." So the Gemara tells us, and so what does it mean that we follow Hashem? Dichiev Shelo La'odon La'Halich Achar Shechina. Is it really possible that a person could walk after the Shechina? Valok Far Nemar Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochlahu. There's another pasuk that says that God is a fire, a consuming fire. Right. So you're going to get burnt. El La'Halach Achar Midos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, what does it mean to follow the midos of Hashem? Mahu malbish arumim, just as Hashem clothes the naked. Dichsiv vayas Hashem Elokim la'adam lishto kisonis or v'al b'shem, that he made clothing for Adam and his wife. Af ata hilbish arum, so too you will dress the naked. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bikir cholim, God visits the sick. Dichsiv vayar alilav Hashem b'lonei mamre, we visit Avram. Af ata bikir cholim, you should also visit the sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nichim aveilim, Hashem visits the mourners. It says vayhi achrei mos Avram vayvarach elokim es Yitzchak b'no. Is it after the death of Avram, so he visited Yitzchak. Afata nichim avim, you should do the same thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu cover mason, you'll see by kperos so begai, afata kavor mason. Alright, so to you, should make sure that you bury the dead. So perhaps that's what the idea of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim are. It's not just that we're evoking Hashem's mercy, but we're evoking within ourselves the need, where we're reminding ourselves what the patterns of mercy are as well. Right? We invoke that and say, oh, right, Hashem is being merciful, and I should also maybe think about the people that I'm supposed to be merciful about as well, and perhaps that leads to the chain reaction of saying you're going to do this about
it. Did you give them those follow after Moshe Rabbeinu mm-hmm. asked how they need to ask from that?
Right.
According to the Rambam, I want to be certain that I know your existence as if one is two. That's the way I wanted to be certain of your existence.
Right.
So Rabbi Shalom said, no human being could conceive me in that manner.
Right.
But I'll show you my
goodness and kindness, yes. So one more point that needs to be said about saying these Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim is are they considered kadosh? Are they considered like a Dvarim Shebekdusha? Are they considered something that require a minion? Are they requiring, so what is the status of that? So the Shulchan Aruch is quoting from the Tshuva Sarashva, where he says, "Ein hayachid reshai lomar shalosh esrei midos derech tefila uvakashas rachamim." That a single person should not be saying the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim the way of tefila uvakashas rachamim, right? The davar shemekdusha heim, because it's like kaddish, it's like kedusha. Aval imbala omram derech kriya ba'alma omram. But if you come to say it just like in a way of reading the psukim, so that you're allowed to do.
So that means that you have to daven as a yachid.
Right. So hold on. We'll do that. 1 minute. V'chein the Rama adds in v'chein ein liyachid lomar slichos over yavar. And so too the Rama says he shouldn't even bother saying slichos at all. So the Mishnah Berurah in source number 8 disagrees with that, with the Ramah. He says, after Yidgal Midos, Kfar Kasu HaMechaber Chazer Vishana HaRamah B'Shem Orz HaRud Afilu Sichos L'Chud Gamkein Ein Lomar, that the Ramah said, backtracks on the Mechaber and says you shouldn't even bother with Slichos. Aval Achron Temeyu Al Ikar Adin. But afterward, after the Ramah, people argued with him. The Achronim argued on. D'lam Aluya, what do you have to lose by saying Slichos? That's not a Dover Shebek Dusha. Du Tachnunim, that's a Tefillah. That's asking something. Ba'alma, V'Yiskimu De Slichos B'Lo Yidgal Midos Yachol Yachid Lomar. The Mishnah Berurah concludes by saying that to say slichos without the yud gimel midos, a single person would be permitted to say. Is there a way to get in the yud gimel midos harachamim? So if Moshe has a tshuva in the middle of Yerideya Chelek Gimel Simen Chafav, what's in the world is this doing in the middle of the section on Yerideya? So because the tshuva was asked about tovling kalim that you sell to a non-Jew or something. I forget exactly what the tshuva is. So there's about 3 pages on that. And in the very last paragraph, he says, oh yeah, and you asked me something about slichus as well. Let me tell you something about that as well. And that's the 3 lines that you have about slichus that he has here at source 9. He says, v'davar yud gimel midos biyachid ha'ikr sheyomar kol ha'posuk ad rebeyim. He says, what a single person should do, if he's dying by himself, he should say the whole pasuk until rebeyim, v'gam dafka below nigun, detachnunim, el kolor b'torah. And you shouldn't do it in the language, in the song of the tefillah. Rather say it as if you would be reading it from the Torah. Sheim darko b'kriyas psukei ha'torah b'tamim b'anigun ha'ragil, tzarech lomar b'niganahu. Right, if you read it in the way you lane it, or if you have a regular way that you learn, so you read it in the way that you learn. Then kashulomi psukei Torah koriyo sam benigun acher sheyotar nekel lafanav reshay likar benigun shahalimud psukim shehurgal shelo yerikem ispala. Or he says, or not just the way you lane it, but let's say right when you learn chumash, so you have a certain way that you learn chumash. People have a tune, right? If you walk up the halls of Torah Academy, you hear Rabbi Selengut making his kids shout his tune. They're not laning it, they're having some tune that they're using. So he says, do it in the tune of learning, not in the tune of davening. The tune of learning is a little bit different than the tune of not davening. The nuanced ear might hear the difference. He says, that's what you should do. You could do the Yid Gimel Midos HaRachamim. He says, but you should do the whole pasuk, and you should do it in a tune of learning rather than a tune of davening. So that's if one is forced, if one is not able to make it to a minyan for slichos, so that's seemingly what one should do. One
Where
should
did
do.
Get his source of that?
What?
Where did he get his source?
I think his source is that he's taking it out of the realm of the of davar. He's taking it out of davar shebekdusha. I mean, he's now putting it into the world of davar of learning a pasuk. So he's learning a pasuk. So okay, why is that worse than learning any other pasuk? Right, so that's the only source he says.
A lot of times.
Yeah. Okay. So you know.
So does that mean though that if you're not up to where the Shlech Tzibur is, and he's saying Yud Gimel Midos, do you stop davening and just listen?
Yeah.
You have to answer.
Well, so that anyways, that really one should the things in between in a way are. A way to get to the next Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Really, one is if you're in the middle of reading the paragraph in between, and the Chazan now starts Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, really you should just end it. You should just stop it and then move right into the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim that the rest of the tzibur is saying. Okay, stop it now.